We are on Hey Yamin Beis in Megillah, and at the beginning of the page, the top of the Amud, the Gemara had recorded that Rebbe planted a planting on Purim. The Gemara said maybe he did it on a different day than was his Purim. He did it on the 14th. And the Gemara said in answer that it's technically permitted to do work on Purim. Now the Gemara gives a third answer. Or else you could say Rebbe really planted on the 15th in Tveria. And in Tveria they also had this custom to prohibit doing work on Purim. Right? We're going with Rabba, the son of Rabba. We are accepting that work on Purim is not prohibited, but you could say that in Rebbe's town they also had this custom not to do work on Purim. So then how come Rebbe planted? We'll give an answer in a second. But before we go to the answer, we have to understand what's driving the Gemara. If the idea here is that Rebbe didn't do a sin, I know he didn't do a sin. But I also know that there was a quote, Rabbi Elazar quoted in the name of Rabbi Hanina, that Rebbe planted on Purim. That's supposed to be teaching me something. I'm not just trying to get out of the problem and say, well, there's no prohibition. Great, but there's got to be a chiddush here. It was quoted, so it's got to teach me something. That's why the Gemara is trying to look for a scenario where I would think it's prohibited, but Rebbe did it anyways to teach me something. Because if I don't have a scenario like that, then I'm stuck. Why'd they bother telling me he planted on Purim? Clear? Okay. So our third answer is you could say the ibayit, and if you want, Ema, I could tell you, Lolam Nahug, really they had this custom in Tveria not to do work on Purim. The Rebbe, and how did Rebbe plant? Netiyash and Simchanata. His planting was not an ordinary planting. He planted a planting that's called the planting of rejoicing, a planting of happiness. Kiditnan, as the Mishnah says. We learned Mishnayot Tanit, you remember? And the Mishnayot tell us when there's no rain, so we have an order of activities, be it the righteous fast, and then everyone fasts a more lenient fast, and then a more strict fast, and then if there's still not rain, then we take on certain customs of mourning. The Mishnah says, "Averu elu velo nanu." If these series of fasts passed and the Jews were not answered, they did not have rain. Mimatin b'masah u'matan, so people decrease their business. B'binyan u'vintia, people decrease their building and their planting. B'erusin u'v'nisuin, we decrease engagement and weddings. B'tana alan, on that Mishnah, we have a Tanai quote, we have a Braisa. When the Mishnah says we decrease binyan, buildings, the idea isn't you stop building your house. Regular building, what you live in, that's okay. What we mean is binyan shel simcha, building that is for the prime purpose of rejoicing and happiness, that's what we reduce. So when the Mishnah said we reduce building, it doesn't mean building homes that you need to live in. It means building homes that are there for the prime purpose of happiness. Nitya, when the Mishnah says we reduce the plantings, it doesn't mean you don't plant trees that you'll eat from. It means nitiyasha simcha. It means planting that's done for the purpose of happiness. Yeah? Okay. What is nitiyasha simcha? So the Talmud asks, Ezel binyansha simcha. What kind of building is called a building you did just for happiness? That's if someone builds a home just for marrying off his son. The custom used to be you'd build a home, make the chuppah inside, and then he'd have the home. So that's a home that You don't necessarily have to build. So that home, the Talmud says, you don't go building homes for your children when they'll get married to have their weddings in. That we reduce if it's a time of mourning. What planting do we mean when we say you reduce the plantings of happiness? That's someone who plants a tree that's there just to have shade, to be able to walk, to have picnics under. That's a tree that's unnecessary. You're doing it for pleasure. That's a tree you're doing to have a good time. Well, we don't invest in good times in a time where everyone's suffering because there's a drought. So we say, don't plant plants like that. A tree that you need, you're going to have a carob or dates or pomegranates from the tree. Fine, good, plant the tree. But if it's a tree that you're just doing so when you want to have a picnic with your kids, you'll have this nice tree with shade in your front yard, that we say reduce. Don't invest so much time in that during the time of year that there's a heavy drought. So from this we see that there's plantings and there's plantings. There's plantings that we say are necessary, and there's planting that we say that planting is indicative of happiness. When Rebbe planted on Purim, which is a day of happiness, Rebbe didn't plant an apple tree. Rebbe planted a tree that was part of the happiness of Purim, a tree that was going to serve his family for picnics or for times that they needed shade. That was the tree planted, and that's permitted. Yes, sir. How did he explain?
It's sort of like an orchard for a palace of a king, some sort of.
Okay. What I said is along the lines of how Rashi explains it.
Oh, okay. Is Rashi on that?
Yeah. Rashi vintiya. Ilan avurniki ilan shetzilon na'e. Tree that has good shade and the kings sit and eat under it in the summer and they have a good time. Okay. Gufa. We'll re-quote what we said earlier. Chizkiya kari bitverya barbesar uv chamesa. We said the Amora named Chizkiya, he read the Megillah in Tveria on the 14th and 15th. He was in doubt as to whether Tveria was walled from the days of Yeshua or not. Ask the Gemara. Was he really in doubt about Tveria? Was he really in doubt whether Tveria was walled in the days of Yeshua? How so? But the verse enumerates the walled cities in the book of Joshua. It says, V'arei amivtzar. Let's open up Tanakh, just a second. So the Gemara quotes, when we're enumerating the tribe of Naphtali's portion in the book of Yeshua, it says, the Arei Amivtzar, and the walled cities in the section in the territory of the tribe of Naphtali were Hatzidim Tzeir V'chamat Rakat V'chinaret. Yeah, then it gives some more names, enumerates 19 cities. V'kaimalan, and we have on tradition Rakat Zot Tveria, that the city of Rakat is what we nowadays call Tveria. So how come Chizkiya was in doubt as to whether it was walled in the times of Yeshua? If we have a tradition that Rakat is Tveria, and the verse says in Yeshua that Rakat was one of the walled cities in the days of Yeshua, answers the Gemara, Hainu Taima de Mesapkele. The reason he was in doubt was not about the walls. He knew that the three walls it had were from the days of Yeshua. His doubt revolved around the following question: the Chadgisa Shuadiya Mahavit. One side of the wall was the sea, so it had three walls, and on the other side it was open to the sea. Is that considered that it was a walled city or not? The fact that the verse in Joshua says it was a fortified city Well, yes, it was fortified. You couldn't attack it. It had walls on three sides, and on the fourth side, it had a jagged cliff going off to the sea. But is that considered that it has a fourth wall? So the Gemara says, wait a second, then I have a question the other way. What was he concerned about? That's obviously not a wall. Titania for the Braisa says, it says in the verse in Chumash, when the Torah describes the laws of Batei Arei Choma, houses that are sold within a walled city. So they have special laws about how long you have till the sale can be undone. So the verse says, you look at the house sold within a city, Asher lo choma, that has a wall around it. And the Medrash, the Braisa says, why does the Torah describe it as a city that has a wall? To stress the point, velo shur igar, it must have a wall, and it's not enough if it's a city that just has houses all around it, and the houses make up the wall around it. If you have houses and the external wall of the houses are attached, and that's the wall that surrounds the city, that's not good enough. It has to be asher lo choma, it must have a wall, velo shur igar, and not that the outside wall of the city, that's its wall.
So it has to be somewhat independent from the city?
I guess. Shur is a wall, igar is roof. So it calls it that it can't be a city whose roofs are its wall. It means it can't be a city whose houses are its make up the external wall. It must have a choma, its own fortress, its own wall going around. The verse says it must have a wall saviv going around it. So we derive from that prat l'tveria sheyama chomata. That's to the exclusion of Tveria, that one side is the sea. It only has a wall around three sides. That does not have a wall saviv all around. And therefore the Torah teaches us that with regards to being considered a walled city for the laws of Batei Arei Choma, Tveria doesn't count. So that's explicit. That's explicit in the Braisa, that Tveria's wall is not considered a walled city from the days of Yeshua, because one side is the sea. So the Gemara gives the obvious answer that you're all edging to say. You're right. With regard to the biblical law of Batei Arei Choma, selling houses within a walled city, there Chizkia didn't have any questions. Like the Gemara correctly pointed out, there's a Braisa that clearly says Tveria's wall does not count. Kika misapkale, but where did he have doubt? Leinyan mikra megillah mai. Mai prazim umai mukafim. When it comes to the reading of the Megillah, what's called mai prazim, what's considered an open city? Umai mukafim dichtivi gabei mikra megillah. And what does it mean, a walled city, that's written with regard to reading Megillah? Is it Mishum Dehani Miglu, because the open cities are revealed? Dehani Lo Miglu, and the walled cities are not revealed. Dehanami Miglia, and then Tveria is also revealed. It has one side that you could see straight into the city, right? The side of the sea. Or Dilma, or maybe when they made the institution of walled and not walled cities, the idea was not whether you could see in and see out, but the idea was Mishum Dehani Mignu, these cities that are walled are protected, they have a wall around them. Dehani Lo Mignu, and the other ones are not protected. Dehanami Miganya, and the city of Tveria, well, it has a great protection with three walls. So then maybe that's enough. That was his doubt. Because of that, he was uncertain as to when you should read in Tveria. Is the wall, does it count or not? Yeah, guys?
So, today?
Yeah, if we're here just talking, if we consider Yerushalayim a walled city, even though we're not in the old city.
That's a different halacha. Wait, we'll get there. It's a good question. We will get there, Bezrat Hashem. Soon. I mean, we covered part of it back in the beginning. In the very beginning, we covered halacha that discusses it.
soup.
Daf Beis Amud Beis and in Daf Gimel Amud Beis. We discuss cities that are next to a walled city. We had it already. Okay, so you guys could review. Amud Beis and Gimel Amud Beis. Amud Rabbi Shua ben Levi. You came after that. Okay.
Okay, okay.
It's all online. You could review. I mean, you could learn it from there.
When do you have time? I have to do so many things I'm reviewing and looking at.
You're right. You're right. What can I say? Okay, back to Gemara. Now that we've... No pressure.
No.
Now that we've entered the topic of cities that are questionable as to whether they were walled from the days of Yeshua or not, we will stay on that topic for another half a page, another half an amud. It says like this, Ravasi kari Megillah behutzal. Ravasi would read the Megillah in the city of Hutzal, Barbesa Ruvichamesa, on the 14th and 15th. He was in doubt as to whether it was walled from the days of Yeshua or not, just like Chizkiah. Others say, Ravasi said, "Hayutzal Devet Binyamin, the city of Hutzal in the tribe of Binyamin, Mukefet Chomam Imot Yoshua Binuni, is really walled from the days of Yoshua. There's no question about it. Period. One say he was in doubt. One say that he said it was clearly walled. Okay." Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "Who is Rabbi Yochanan? Remind me, guys. He compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. He was the chief rabbi of Israel.
He was the brother-in-law of Reish Lakish.
Excellent. Very, very good-looking person. So, right?
I heard that story.
Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan said, "Ki avina talyo, when I was a kid, when I was a little boy." Amina Milita, I said something, the Sheilna Lesavaya, that I verified with the elders, Vishtakach Kavati, and it turned out I was right. What did I say? I said, Chamat Zut Verio. In the verse in Joshua, let's go back to that verse which we quoted a few lines ago. It says, the following are the walled cities in the tribe of Naphtali. It says, the walled cities are Sidim, Tzer, Chamat, Rakat, and Chinaret. So we had said that Rakat is Tveria. Rabbi Yochanan, when he was a kid, suggested that Chamat is Tveria, and he asked the elders, and they said he was right. V'lamanika Shmat Chamat. So why is it called Chamat? Al Shum Chamei Tveria, because of the hot springs in Tveria. Rakat Zotzipori. V'lamanika Shmat Rakat. Rakat is the city of Tzipori. Why is it called Rakat? Mishum de medalia kerakta de nahara. Because it is high like the edge of the river. Just like the river banks are higher than the river, that's why the river stays in its course. So too, Tzipori is high above everything else. Chinaret zoginosar. Chinaret is the place which Chazal used to call Ginosar. V'lama nikra shma chinaret? Why is it called chinaret? Demtiki pera kitala de chinre, because it has sweet fruits, like hearing a kinor. Kinor is a harp, violin. It's a kinor.
That was a violin.
Okay.
You don't know that.
What?
I think it's a violin.
Okay.
I'm sitting here with English, so I'm not going to say anything.
What?
I'm sitting here with English, so.
What do they say?
They said there's other explanations of it, so.
Okay. Amar Rava. Rava said, Nikaramanda Amar Rakat Lav Tveria. Is there anyone that says that Rakat isn't Tveria? What does that mean? Rav Yochanan says that Chamat is Tveria and elders agreed with him. Is there anyone that disagrees with that, what we said earlier, that Rakat is Tveria? Rakishachi Vinish Hacha. But when a person passes away here in Babylon, right? We're learning the Babylonian Talmud. Here means Babylon. Hatam, there. Where's there? In Israel, right? Hatam, Safti Dehachi. This is how they eulogize him. Gadolu B'Sheikh Shach. He was great in Babel. In the Tanakh, Babel is sometimes referred to as Sheikh Shach. You know, we have a code called Atbash. where letters are interchangeable. First letter with the last letter. So the first letter is Aleph, the last letter is Tav. The second letter is Beis, second to last letter is Shin. Shei Shach, Shin Shin, Beis Beis. Chaf and Lamed are the middle. Chaf interchanges with Lamed. So Shei Shach becomes Bavel in Tanakh. And I mean, there's already a pasuk in Bavel where in Tanakh where it's called Shei Shach.
Why do they do that as opposed to just playing in Bavel?
Ooh, you want all the secrets? That I don't know. I can't tell you. Sorry. It's a good question. So the way they eulogize him is Gadolu b'Shei Shach. He's great in Bavel. The Shem lo b'Rakat, and even has a reputation in Rakat, meaning in Tveria. So you see that even today, everyone agrees that Rakat is Tveria. V'chimaski aron lehatam, and when they'd lead him into Israel to bury him, so when the Aron would come to Tveria, Safti lehachi, they'd eulogize him this way. In Tveria, they'd call out, Ohavei Slidim, people who love Israel, Yoshvei Rakat, you who dwell in the city of Tveria. You see, how do they call their own inhabitants in Tveria? They refer to their citizens as the citizens of Rakat. Go out and greet, go out and accept those that were killed in the depths. That's Babylon. Bavel is very deep. That's why Bavel, if you dig in the ground, you find water. There's always water under the surface of the ground in Bavel, because we have on tradition that Bavel is also known as Shinar. Bavel is the place where all the waters of the flood sunk, where they all get absorbed in Bavel. Shinar Sheshom Ninaru, because over there God, so to speak, shook out all the dead from the flood. All the waters went down, down, down till they hit Bavel. So Bavel is called the depths. So I don't know, is Iraq so deep? No idea.
I'll look at the topology of it. I don't know.
Well, things must have changed. The Gemara says even in their days, things changed. So, okay, anyways, when the Aron would hit Tveria, they call their citizens and say, lovers of Israel who dwell in the city of Rakat. So that's how the Tverians used to refer to themselves. Go out and accept those that were killed in the depths. So the Gemara ends with this. We had a quote initially that Rakat was Tveria. Rava brings more proof that Rakat is Tveria. And Rav Yochanan had said that Chamat is Tveria. So far, so good? Okay. Kinachna Shed Rav Zeira. When Rav Zeira, his soul went to rest. Kinachna Shed, his soul went to rest. He passed away. Patach Alei Ausaf Dana. So the eulogizer began the following. Eretz Shinar. Oh, you guys know what Shinar is? Shinar, we just said, is Bavel. Eretz Shinar Hara. The land of Bavel got pregnant. V'yalada, and gave birth to this great man. Eretz Tzvi. The land that is chosen. Tzvi means chosen. Tzvi isn't only a deer. Tzvi. Tzvi l'chol ha'aretzot. Tzvi is something that everyone likes and wants. So Eretz Tzvi, the land of Israel, is referred to in Tanakh as Eretz Tzvi. Gidela Shashuea. You know why it's called Eretz Tzvi? Not only because everyone wants it, but also because the deer has a unique characteristic. If you skin the deer, yeah, you look at its hide, you try to put it back on the deer, you won't be able to. The hide, when it's on the deer, doesn't look like it's taut. A second after you take it off, suddenly it shrivels. Suddenly you try to put it back on the deer, it won't fit. Chazal say that's how Israel is. When the Jews live in Israel, you could have millions and millions, and everyone feels like, hey, there's room for everyone, this is great. When the Jews are out of Israel, suddenly it seems shriveled, such a tiny place. Who can fit there? Like a deer, like a deer. So the eulogizer over Rabbi Zera said, the land of Bavel bore this giant and gave birth to him. The land of the deer, Gidela Shashuea, raised the entertainer, so to speak, of Bavel. Chazal often referred to children as entertainers. Shashuai, Yelid Shashuai. Chazal say a child is always entertaining, it's always fun. A kid, you can play around with him, joke around with him. So Shashuai doesn't mean entertainer like we think today an entertainer, it means the kid who is always entertaining. Woe to you, said Rakat. Who's Rakat over here? Tverio. Ki aveda keli chemdata, for it lost its coveted vessel. It lost who? It lost Rabbi Zeira. So the Gemara brings all these sources that show that everyone holds that Rakat is Tveria. So that being the case, Elo bot, what do we do with Rav Yochanan's logic? Rav Yochanan said, why is it that Chamat is Tveria? Because it refers to Cham, the hot springs of Tveria. So we have to re-explain what Chamat means. Ela Amar Rava, but Rava explained, Chamat zu chamei grav. Chamat is a reference to the hot springs of Gror. Rakat zu Tveria, chinaret zu ginosar, velam nikra shma Rakat. Why is Tveria called Rakat? Shafilu ekanin sheba, even the empty ones in Rakat, melein mitzvot karimon, are filled with mitzvot like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. Rav Yirmiyah Omar, Rav Yirmiyah, you guys remember who Rav Yirmiyah is, we mentioned on Sunday. He asks all those specific questions, like the bird with 2 feet, one inside there, one outside there, if you remember. Neither one of you were there, I guess. Okay, so Rav Yirmiyah said, okay, Rakat Shema. Rakat is the name of Tveria. It's not that the nickname is Rakat. We call it Tveria. We're using the nickname. The real name is Rakat. The Lama Nikra Shema Tveria. So then you have to explain why is he given the nickname of Tveria. Until now we assumed its real name is Tveria. It has the nickname of Rakat. So we have to explain why does it get that nickname. But now we're saying its real name is Rakat. So then why did it get the nickname of Tveria? Sheyoshevet v'tibura shel Eretz Yisrael. Because Tveria is sitting in the navel of the land of Israel, in the center of Israel. Look at a map and tell me if it works. I don't know.
Maybe nowadays it's a little bit.
I don't know. So you got to figure out according to which map they were working. I don't know. Rabba Omar Rakatshma. Rabba says its real name is Rakat. V'lam nikra shma Tveria. So then why is it given the nickname of Tveria? That it was pleasant to look at. You'd come to Tveria, they had an excellent city council. They had wonderful gardens, they had wonderful orchards. Tveria, you could go for a walk there. So that was the place you want to go on a date. Tveria. So Tovariyata was pleasant to look around.
How does that explain Rabbi Yochanan's answer?
It doesn't. They turned away Rabbi Yochanan's answer. We said, Ella, but. Elo always means we're nixing what we said earlier. We're nixing Rav Yochanan. The Talmud isn't going with Rav Yochanan. Okay, got it. Just 1 second. Okay, you want to pause here? You got
to
go?
I'd like to continue.
You want to continue?
We can continue. Yeah?
Okay, fight it. Amar Zira, Zira Tot, Kitron, the city of Kitron, Zutzipori, that's the city of Tzipori. But its real name was Kitron. V'lama nikra shma Tzipori, so why was it given the nickname of Tzipori? Sheyoshevet b'rosh ahar, k'tzipor. Because it sits at the top of a mountain like a bird. Just like a bird sits on top of mountains, on top of trees, so too this city sits on top of the mountain, that's why it's called Tzipori. The Kitron Tzipori, the Gemara questions, is Kitron really the city of Tzipori? Kitron was in the portion in the lot of Zvulun territory. Dichtiv, as the verse says, Zvulun lo rishet yoshvei Kitron vet yoshvei Na'alol. That Zvulun did not do his job. He did not inherit those people. He did not kick out or take control of the people living in the city of Kitron and the city of Na'alol. So you see that Kitron is out in Zvolun territory. How could you say Kitron is Tzipori? And then the Gemara goes off on a tangent a little bit. Quotes, V'Zvolun mitrem al midotavava. And how does this preclude Kitron being Tzipori? Because Zvolun was very upset about his section, his territory. Shneimar, as the verse says, Zvolun amcheref nafsho lamut. Zvolun really was upset, like to the point of death. Why? Matam mishum de Naftali al meromei sadeh, because Naftali had all these beautiful fields, and Zvulun, his neighbor, didn't get such good territory. Amal Zvulun nifna kadosh baruch hu. Zvulun turned to God and said, Ribono shel olam, master of the world, la'chai natate lahem sadeot ukramim. To my brothers you gave fields, you gave vineyards, v'li natate arim ugvaot. But me, you gave mountains and meadows. You gave me mountains and hilltops. How am I ever going to grow anything? How am I going to support all of my tribe? La'chai natate lahem aratzot. To my brothers you gave territory, v'li natate yamim unarot. And my lot is port cities. I have rivers. Amalo, so God said to Zvulun, no, so I gave you port cities. So make money off those port cities. Go fishing. Everyone's going to need you because it's in your territory that you could get that special sea creature called the chilazon from which you produce the blue dye. And only that blue dye is kosher for tzitzis. Every Jew is going to have to get some of that blue dye that you import, that you... It's on your territory. You'll go fishing and get it. Shneimar, as the verse says, Amima yikrao, Sham yizbechu zivchei tzedek usfunei temun echol. And everyone goes to the mountains of Zvulun because they have that precious thing hidden in their sand. Tani Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef explained, Shifunei, that precious thing, zechilazon. That's a special sea creature called the chilazon, from which we get that special dye. Timunei zoktarit. Timunei, hidden, that's a reference to the fish called tarit. Rashi says that's the fish that we call tunina. Chol zuz chuchit levana. Sand, that's because their sand produced an extra fine glass, a glass that could only be purchased in the time of the Beis HaMikdash in the land of Israel, off of Zvolun territory, called chuchit levana, white glass. And after the temple was destroyed, they lost the wisdom of how to manufacture such precious glass. There were only a few vessels left of that precious glass. And next week, Sunday, we will learn what happened with one of the cups that remained from the time of the temple. They had one cup of this precious glass, and they brought it to a wedding. We'll see what happened next week, Sunday. This is in the Talmud in Brachos, Bezrat Hashem. We will see it on Sunday in our Ein Yaakov class. So Zvulun was gifted with the chilazon, the special sand. God said, so what? So I gave you territory that's by the sea. You have so much blessing. You can make so much money off of that territory. Amar lefanav. So Zvulun says, okay, I understand I could become wealthy off of this, but people could come in and steal my stuff. What's keeping people away off my shores? So Zvulun said to God, Ribono shel olam, mi modiani? God, who's going to admit to me that I have rights to it? Who's going to pay me for it? People are going to go fishing on their own, get their own chilazon, and they won't pay me the price. Amaolo, so God says to Zvulun, Sham yizbechu zivchei tzedek, siman zeh yeilecha. I'll give you the following sign. Whoever takes your lot, whoever takes from your fish, from your fishing rights, without paying for it, he will not succeed in his business at all. So, now let's sum up. We're in the middle of a thought here. We said, how could Kitron be Tzipori? Zvulun had the part of Kitron, and Zvulun was complaining, God, you didn't give me such a good territory, right? Now, and if Kitron, that was within Zvulun territory, is really the city of Tzipori, what was he so upset about his lot? He had the city of Tzipori. If Kitron is really Tzipori, he had something great in his lot. He had the city of Tzipori. Milta da'adifa tuva, that's very special Tzipori. V'chitema de'letba zavat chalav u'dvash, you'll tell me, well, maybe Tzipori has a lot of good crops, but Tzipori is not flowing with milk and honey. That's what he was upset about. That's not so. V'amar Resh Lakish said, ledidi chazili zavat chalav u'dvash te'tzipori. I personally saw how much flowing of milk and honey there was in Tzipori, v'avishishasa mil at shishasa mil. And it was 16 mil by 16 mil. So you'll say, well, maybe the rest of Israel had much more. You'll say maybe he was complaining because his portion was not flowing with milk and honey like his brothers. We have a quote in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. He says, I personally toured all of Israel and I saw all the places where which were flowing with milk and honey. Vehavi kimi beikube adaka de tulvanke esim utalti palsek. Ukta uput yashita palsek. And it was like the area from the city of Tulvanki to the house of Kubi, which is an area of 22 parsa by 6 parsa. So that's how many square parsa? That's 132 square parsa. A parsa is 2 mil, right? What?
I don't know exactly.
Do they do the math there?
They do a bit of math here. They say 16 mil is between 9.3 and 11.5 miles.
Fine.
And for parsa is 4 mil.
Parsa is 4 mil, not 2 mil?
Parsa is 4 mil, it says.
This is parsa is 4 mil? Okay. So a parsa is 4 mil, so we have over here, they had 16 mil by 16 mil, meaning they had 4 parsa by 4 parsa, meaning that 16 square parsa. All of the land of Israel had 6 parsa by 12, 72 square parsa. So that's 6 out of 72, that's exactly 1/12, right? Yeah, correct? So what were they complaining about? Answers the Gemara. No. 6 out of it was 22 by 6, meaning it was 132 square. And they had 4 by 4, that's 16. 16 out of 132 is more than 10%. They had more than their portion. That's 16. That 4 parsa by 4 parsa, 16 square parsa. All of the land of Israel is 132 square parsa. So they had like 1/8, right? So they had much more than other tribes. So what are they complaining about? They had the great city of Tzipori. If Kitron is Tzipori, then they had the great city of Tzipori, which was very successful in the what they grew, plus flowing with milk and honey. What could they be complaining about? Answers the Gemara, afilu hachi, even though they had Tzipori, sadot uchamim adifalei, they would have preferred having a territory that was filled with fields and vineyards. Dekanami, that's actually very, very clear in the verse, if you look closely, because the verse says, dichtiv, v'naftali al merumei sadeh, they were comparing themselves to Naftali that had all the great fields. Shmamina, the Gemara accepts the proof that their complaint was over the fact that they didn't have fields, and therefore Kitron could still be Tzipori, even though Tzipori is a prosperous city. It doesn't have the fields that they wanted, and their territory at large did not have the fields that they wanted. Okay, we'll pause here. Okay, Yeshukach.